Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast today. I am so pumped because I have a very special guest, a very smart guest for you guys today. And it is Dre Redfern. He is the founder of Redfern Media and FractionalCMO.com. We are going to chat marketing today, but we're also going to talk about what it's like to be a serial entrepreneur and have a huge vision for your life. But the reality of what it looks like navigating all of that while being a super hands-on parent and husband and that sort of thing. So thank you so much for joining us.
Super excited to be here, Stephanie.
So give the listeners a little idea about who you are and how you got started in entrepreneurship.
Totally. So I was not one of those kids that had like the entrepreneurship bug at the age of 4 or 5. I started selling, you know, paper routes or whatever. I was not that kid. But my dad was an entrepreneur. And so I got to grow up and see how he handled his time and how he handled his schedule and the freedom that it created for us as children to be with him or traveling with him or whatever it was. So I got that at a much younger age. But it wasn't easy. Like when we were, you know, my parents were sort of starting out, my mother was going to like Albertson's, the grocery store, and buying the damaged fruit from the produce manager that they would never even put out. So it wasn't like a, you know, immediately overnight, all of these cool things happened. Like very, very humble beginnings. And I started working in the business, which was an insurance agency, at age 12. So I got to just, you know, learn from like old filing cabinet, putting stuff away, like the bottom of the bottom. And as time went on, I fell in love with the marketing aspect of things because I could have an idea, give it to someone else, they could execute it on the team because I was just a kid. And then they could have success with it and make more money as a result of it. And then got the high fives back then, which was more than enough, you know, being a younger kid. And then as time went on, I got more and more involved, graduated college. I took over the entire marketing department. We eventually grew the company to about $40 million a year in sales.
Wow.
So really went from nothing into something. And I was in charge of all of the marketing and learned a lot going through that. And then as I sort of, you know, we're having more success, I started my own marketing agency. A few years after that, I bought FractionalCMO.com off of someone, which is a whole other story. And got into the marketing elements that way. And then a few years ago, I was still sort of overseeing the marketing loosely because I did have an equity stake in it. And the company, we sold it to Berkshire Hathaway. So it was kind of cool to say, build a company and then sold it to Warren Buffett.
Not too shabby.
And the Berkshire Hathaway companies, because they love insurance, Aflac and, you know, or Geico and many of those are all Berkshire Hathaway companies, and saw how they went through an acquisition. Because I've made a few acquisitions, I've sold a few companies, but seeing how they did it was very, very interesting. But then I have my marketing agency, and typically there we've got a lot of big high-profile names, like names, business names that you would have probably heard of, and FractionalCMO.com, which is less hands-on and more high-level strategy. So I play in various ends of the marketing swimming pool with different sort of capacities, I would say.
I love that. For people who maybe have never heard of the term fractional CMO, I know until I got more in the online space, it wasn't really a concept that I had heard of. So tell the listeners why that's beneficial to have one and what that looks like.
So most people have a marketing administrator or marketing coordinator or something on their staff. And that person's probably trying to manage a vendor or two. And I've got a part-time copywriter or whatever else. And it's just very disjointed. Mm-hmm. But most of those marketing administrative persons or marketing coordinators don't really understand high-level strategy or understanding big, important KPIs or what are the KPIs, the key performance indicators that you need to even be keeping track of. And so these are all things that matter that a typical, call it $50,000 to $75,000 a year person typically doesn't have a good pulse on. So a fractional CMO tends to be a less expensive option for a lot of businesses to have really high level strategy, but not have the, you know, the cost of having that person or agency do all of the lever cranking, et cetera. So it's a good mix for a lot of businesses in the, call it one-ish million to 15 million space, of having really good high-level strategy without paying $300,000 a year for a full-time CMO sort of role.
Totally. And that's been so cool to see, because I don't feel like we do it enough in brick and mortar. But, you know, I'm trying to get my clients to understand there's different ways that you can be creative. But in the online space, it's so cool to have these different like contractors that you can scale up and scale down based on your needs. I find that it really helps protect profit margins. It really helps protect like capacity within teams. You know, we operate with a really small team. And so it's been nice to have these other roles that you can bring in as you look to scale. And I think anybody listening to this that wants to improve their marketing should absolutely consider, well, not only Dre, because we have started to work with him and his team is so freaking dialed in. I can't wait for you guys to see what we start to roll out. But other than that, like, as the fractional CMO role, it is so beneficial to have somebody on your team directing that strategy, especially if you as the business owner don't feel like marketing is a strong suit. For me, I love doing marketing, but it still doesn't mean that I know everything that there is to do.
Yeah, there's so much. Even the best of people and brands out there, like think like sharks from Shark Tank. They may understand high level things, but they don't always understand the boots on the ground, what they're trying to implement, and the KPIs in between. Like, are we seeing profit or not? Is typically what a lot of business owners only really look for.
That's the only metric.
Exactly. But a lot of marketing KPIs, those key performance indicators, can be leading indicators for the business. Like, if leads are up, we're probably going to have a good month, a month or 2 months or 3 months from now, depending on the sales cycles. If leads are down, wait 90 days and we're going to be not in a good place. So we need to fix this now. So it's understanding various elements, whether it's brick and mortar or whether it's online or whether it's selling tchotchkes and doing whatever, understanding what are those metrics that are important for your individual business. Because once you know those, you've got like a really good pulse on them, then it makes it easier to like project where you're going to be. You can protect the profit margins easier. You can do all of those sorts of things, but you got to know your numbers first.
Absolutely. It's like my number one thing that I start telling people is like, I am shocked at how many business owners not only don't know like profit and expenses, but have no bulletproof aspect to their business of like monthly recurring revenue. They have no idea what it costs to acquire a client. They have no idea what their LTV is. And I'm like, how are we building something legit if we don't know these things?
It's so true. We see it all the time. And we have a framework that we use called Anchor. It's attract, nurture, convert, humanize, optimize, and then retention and recurring revenue. And one of the easiest places to get people quick wins is the O, the optimize, which is basically what are those five numbers that matter to you? And usually you typically get like the I don't know. And so figuring that thing out first is one of the force multipliers that any business could really grow substantially faster if they just knew those few dials with which to understand the baseline and then crank it up from there.
And what are some of those dials for you that you really care about?
I want to know what is that cost, like my CPM, so cost per thousand impressions, because we do, you know, a lot of traffic and things like this. What is my CPM, my cost per thousand impressions? I want to know the cost per booked call. I want to know cost per close. I want to know time to close. And then on top of that, LTV, lifetime value. Mm-hmm. And lifetime values, I mean, even multiple companies in the marketing space, it varies wildly. And then I also want to know, like, those are the metrics, but I also want to know, I want to humanize the H of our anchor framework, the humanize. Those are the metrics I want to know. I also want to humanize the person, understand the things that matter to them. So like get their birthday or get their anniversary or get the other things like that. Because if you also know the KPIs of the business and then you also have a good connection with your clients, then retention goes up, which is the R of our anchor framework. There's just a variety of sort of flywheel effects that you start spinning this thing and it just goes crazy. So there are KPIs for the business, but there are also like HPIs, like human performance indicator sort of thing of knowing what it is to actually have like an H to H relationship, human to human, and not a B2B sort of thing or not a B2C sort of thing. So my philosophy on the KPI side of things.
I love that because I think so often I guess I've seen such opposite ends of the spectrum where people only care about numbers and they forget that it's like humans serving humans and there's no like heart behind that. And it feels really sterile. But I've also seen the other side where there's so much heart behind it that you're like, you're giving away the whole farm and you're never going to have a pot to piss in. You're never going to have any money that's left over for you. And it's like, okay, we got to find this common ground. There's a way to build business that makes a massive impact, helps a ton of people, but also is still very profitable. And I love the frame and the perspective of like tying those together. So what are some things that you see? Because you do these crazy intensive audits on businesses to where you dive into like everything. Our business just went through it. And so what are some of the easiest, maybe two or three things that everybody could improve inside of their marketing?
Probably a few things. So part of our audits, we do a very comprehensive audit, look at their SEO and SEM search engine marketing and all sorts of paid ads and their website, website speed. And we have a 71-point website audit. It's a very comprehensive thing. But in any of those, most websites that we've been to have something broken. Like you are in desktop. Desktop says one phone number and you're in mobile and it says a different phone number. And maybe that different phone number goes to a line that you were tracking something on, but it's dead. And so you're not getting the amount of phone calls that you should be getting. Something like that. You have privacy policies, especially if you go with a web developer that like doesn't really know what they're doing. Privacy policies from someone else's website. So it has someone else's, you know, URL or business name in it. Like there, if I had a dollar for every time something things like this came up, I could buy you and I lunch for a month. But it's things like that. So actually making sure desktop and mobile and all of these things are actually dialed in, because we've never not found something is really what it comes down to. The second part of it is you may not want to do paid ads or paid media today, and maybe not next month, and maybe not even next year. And that's totally fine. But every single business should have pixel tracking and, you know, elements on their website. So that's like a Facebook pixel that's free to get. You can go to like business.facebook.com, make sure that pixel is on your website. You can do the same thing for LinkedIn and TikTok, have your Google Analytics on there, all of these sorts of things. And then also one of my other favorites is hotjar.com, which is another free one. And you can put that onto your website. And what it basically ends up doing is taking a video of every single interaction that people have on the website. So it's kind of like I can see your cursor moved here and then it moved there and you scroll down, all this other sort of stuff. It's kind of Big Brother-esque.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a little creepy. They don't know you're watching them. And then after you have a certain amount of visitors and whatever, it makes heat maps of showing exactly where people's cursors are going or how far down the pages they're going. And so you have much more tangible data of how your actual prospects and customers or clients are interacting with your infrastructure. And so if you've got this really, you think it's so cool and sexy, this little like blurb or whatever else, and you think it's great, but you see a bunch of people trying to click on it because they think it's a button and it's not, you're losing leads as a result of this. So it allows you to take the emotion out of design work and be like, oh, I love how this looks. But like, yeah, but your design sucks and it's costing you money. So what do you care more about? Like the egoic element of how you tied the design to it or actually getting more clients and customers as a result of it? So it's things like that. So I'd say, understand the what is there, play around with it, like really do an audit of the back end of names. Your most privacy policies are not even accurate, and it could, you know, be a big lawsuit for people. So it's things like that, but also have the good elements on the site so that when you want to start doing paid ads, you can do it more effectively. We can go down that and why it's maybe you know, a good deal. But even if you don't do any of those things, you're training that pixel, which is really, really good over time because it allows all of the platforms to know, if you want to run ads, what type of person should we show your ads to? Like my type of person is going to be someone between the ages of like 28 and 45, typically. 7 times out of 10, they're female. They're doing over $1 million a year in sales and revenue. Like my pixels are very well trained that if I want to run ads, boom, they make it happen very quick and easily. So even if you don't want to do that yet, do things like that because it's free.
To get yourself set up.
Exactly it. Yep.
I'm dying because I'm pretty sure on our first call, you're like, Steph, who did your website? And I'm like, oh, I just did it with like a VA because I wanted it to be cute. And you're like, here's the worst thing you could do. But that's why I hired you because, listen, we're going to start playing at a different level, okay? We're not caring about cute websites anymore. We're caring about efficient websites.
Yep. Yeah, it's a website is, it's nothing more than an online business card. But, you know, you either go one of two ways. It's either super, super pretty and like has all of these flow-ins and fly-ins and whatever else, and you kill your conversions, or you typically have something that's like really, really ugly, but it converts like crazy. So there's a happy medium between these things of actually positioning the brand well and actually getting something that converts. So yeah, it's a... we could spend all day on that.
No, I love it. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about serial entrepreneurship, because I know that's one of the things that I was so drawn to you for, is like, you're playing life at a big level, but you're not sacrificing your family in order to do so. And so let's talk about what that looks like a little bit.
I think that anyone saying that they have it figured out is lying.
Yeah.
And so I think we're all doing the best that we can with the tools that we have in our tool belt. And so one of the things that I do as a dad and as a husband is constantly try and add more tools to my tool belt, if you will. And that's ways to talk to my kids. That's ways to be a better entrepreneur or have better structures and scheduling to just be around and be present more. So I drop my kids off at school every morning. I pick my kids up from school every afternoon. Like that's like practically a non-negotiable for me. Mm-hmm. I love it because I know how fast time is fleeting. So if that becomes the, what a psychologist would call a forcing function, I have to get the rest of my work done in a period of time in between those two phases. And so mm-hmm. it causes me, the forcing function, to be way more productive, way tighter meetings, and then really analyze opportunities differently of, is this worth my time? And if it's not a hell yes, it's oftentimes mm-hmm. a no. And that filter of even just saying no to things took me probably a decade to even want to do, because I'm like, I have FOMO with everything. And we've had a lot of really cool opportunities that I just like, it's outside of the scope. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's outside of the scope of, well, it'd have to be, you know, I'd have to be in this place for X amount of time every single month or this or that. And it's just, thank you, it would be really, really great money, but it's a non-negotiable. So that's certainly it. But I also try to have my kids come with me as much as possible. So we've had a full-time nanny. We're very blessed to have a full-time nanny. So the nanny and the kids have historically come with me everywhere, or darn near everywhere. Like last week, I was at a speaking gig with about 1,000 people in attendance, and I'm on stage, and kids came with me. So they got to see dad on stage. They were sitting in a room, like listening to other business content. They're 4 and 6. They don't really understand all of it, but there's a simple level of osmosis that occurs they won't realize till later. And largely because when I was a kid, my dad would listen to Tony Robbins and Zig Ziglar and Les Brown on the way to school every single day. And I would be like, Dad, turn this off. Ugh, I don't like this. And it wasn't until I was about 25 where I was dealing with some, like we were plaintiffs in a massive, massive lawsuit that was very, very, like we got 400 million impressions on this suit. And the really, really hard time going through it. And I caught myself in a pattern of like getting myself out of this like psychologically very, very quickly. I'm like, where did I learn this? Mm-hmm. And it was for the last basically 20 years or so of having all of that personal development in my life and things like that. So I've sort of made it as a dad, like I want to bring them into my world and be a part of the, you know, the talks. And I want to listen to the Tony Robbins things on the way to school, even if they go, I don't want to listen to that, and do it that way. Cause you just, there's a whole bunch of, small sort of dominoes to line up in their life for whatever it is that they want to do later. I just want to add, for like me, I want to add more tools to their tool belt.
Totally. And there's something to be said that's happening in their subconscious when you're like, hey, this isn't more important than you. You're included in this, but this is still really important to me. And you should also see me chasing my own dreams because I want to inspire that within you. And that has been such a huge thing for my husband and I. We only have one child so far, but like bringing him along for the ride. And if there is a conference, you know, like I host a big conference every year. I'm not bringing him to that because that's a distraction. I'm not just speaking. I'm hosting the whole thing. And so I kind of need my space, but I come home and he's like, welcome home. How is your work? And he has a little sign for me, you know? And it's like, I show him pictures and we're constantly telling him the work that we do. And it just has been so cool because now, you know, when we're like, okay, mommy, daddy have to go to work or whatever. And he's like, okay, you're going to go help people. Like he gets to understand and he gets to see it firsthand. And that, to your point, nobody has it figured out. Some days it's more overwhelming than others. And some days you're like, damn, I'm kind of nailing this today. This is cool. But I do think like living that integrated life where it's kind of all together. I always say I don't have balance, but I have a lot of harmony because I'm doing things I love all the time with the people that I love.
I love that. I think it's so accurate. It's so important. I think balance is bullshit to a certain degree. It's like certain seasons you're doing more of one thing and then you're doing less of it other seasons. So no, I really love that harmony bit.
What for you, as we close up here, I feel like I could talk to you forever. What for you is something that you're like really super pumped about in 2025?
In 25, I think it's one of these things where everyone and their mother is talking about AI. And we've been using AI for 5 years at this point. Some people are like, I'm ChatGPT Pro and like, you know, all this other sort of stuff. Like I'm a boss. And I think that there's a lot of people that are using it the wrong way, which is sort of interesting. So AI is just it's kind of fun. It's new. So keeping my pulse on that. In fact, like most of our team, they get off at Friday, like at midday at noon. They can have the afternoon to play with whatever they want. Any AI tool, any this or that, just to keep like their fingers on the pulse. And I'll pay for the whole thing. And so it's trying to stay ahead of the cutting edge of things like this. So that's certainly one thing. And there's like doubling down because the amount of efficiencies and things that there are now is just, it's unbelievable for any business. Like for certain niches, we'll do 10,000 custom videos a month. Hey, Stephanie, Dre Redfern here. Like, hey, Billie Jean, Dre Redfern here. Listen, I was doing X, Y, and Z. Like things like that, that you can humanize interactions so much more. So I'm very excited about all of that. And then secondarily, we're in the process of trying to acquire a university, which if you would have asked me even 6 months ago, would something like this be possible? And the answer like for me would have been no, but it's constantly like being around bigger thinkers that are thinking and looking at problems way, way, way differently. Thinking of it as like constantly evolving upwards in relation to the circles and people you're hanging around and just being way more, you know, way more, I'd say active in picking the people that you're spending time with. So those are sort of the two things I'm kind of excited about this year.
I love that. I know that's going to give people some ideas on how they can start to integrate AI more. But to your point, it's been around for a while. The early adopters have already been on it. But the beautiful thing about AI is it's moving so rapidly. New developments are happening every day. So you're never too late. It just is a matter of like how much you're willing to integrate it and apply it to your business and that sort of thing. Yeah. So amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to drop your website, your contact info. Is your website the best place to get connected with you?
That or any of the socials, they can ping me if they want. I'm not super active on the socials, but I'll usually message people back if need be.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Dre.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
Hey there. Do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.